Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, The Hellish Planets, Text Number 39. Shrutvastulam tata sukshmam Rupam Bhagavato yati Stule nirjitam atmanam Shanai shuksmam diya nayati iti. Shutva, after hearing of, from the disciple succession, stulam, gross, tata, as well as, sukshmam, subtle, rupam, form, Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yati, a sannyasi or devotee. Stule, the gross form. Nirjitam, conquered. Atmanam, the mind. Shanai, gradually. Sukshmam, the subtle, spiritual form of the Lord. Diya, by intelligence. Not yet, one should lead it to. Iti, thus. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation, but is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called yati, or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, after hearing of both forms. Thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. Purport. It is said, Mahat Sevam Dwara Mahur Vimukte. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, he should associate with Mahatmas or liberated devotees. Because in such association, there is a full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, quality, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. On the path of bondage, one eternally undergoes the repetition of birth and death. One who desires liberation from such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Slovenia. See? And thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees and also explain it to propagate Krishna consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadhyade Zatarane. Hearing is a basic principle either for liberation or for bondage. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Manobudhir Asya Dishtanam Uchete Eter Vimohadyatyesha Jnanam Avrittidehina. We back up a little bit before that. Conditioned life is explained. Dumena vriyate vanir, itadar shom malena cha, ital bainai vita garbas, tata tenedam avritam. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Avritam gena etena gyane no nityavarena kamarupena kuntia dusprena analena cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. And then that verse, Indriyani Puranyahura, Indriya Vyak Puramanak, Manasastu Puro Buddhir, Yo Buddhe Puratastu Saha. That the senses, the mind, the intelligence are sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. If we come to our original state of consciousness, which is called real knowledge, real knowledge is nothing but seeing things as they actually are, then all our problems are solved. Because the soul has no problem, because the soul is eternal. If you're eternal, what could possibly be your problem? If you're full of bliss, then what more do you want? And if we know everything as it is, so we know how to act to stay in full consciousness of our blissful eternal nature, so what more knowledge does anyone need? So that's our original nature. Unfortunately, we've chosen a different path, and therefore the material nature has awarded us accordingly. Krishna Bhagir Mukha Boga Vanchatare Nikatastamaya Tare Japatiya Dare. As soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Maya, who is standing right next to us, slaps us down. But if we hear about Krishna, then that's equal to turning our face back to Krishna again. Now, there are two different energies. There is the external energy, which is impelling the living entity for gratifying the demands of the mind and the senses. And then there's the spiritual energy, which is encouraging the living entity to utilize the mind and senses according to Krishna's desires. It remains with the soul, his free will, either to orientate his desires towards the direction of fulfilling Krishna's desires, or orientating his desires towards the conception of gratifying the demands of the senses and the mind. And that all depends upon intelligence, spiritual intelligence, or material intelligence. By material intelligence, we figure out what to do to become materially satisfied, happy, prosperous, progressive, whatever else they want to call it. Just as I've often given that analogy, that a man is walking down the street and he sees an attractive woman, and immediately the mind says, go get her. And the intelligence says, wait a second, she has a dot on her forehead, she might be married, and there's a man right next to her. But the mind, the senses, they say, oh, don't listen to that crazy ideas you read in some book 5 years ago, Bhagavad something. No one believes in that anymore. Just, you've gone to school, you're not a fool. You know that if it feels good, then you do it. That is the law. So the soul, if it's not sufficiently educated, thinks, yeah, it was in some book, but that was an old book. Besides that, I got it for free, so it probably didn't have any value in it anyhow. So the soul has to decide either to utilize whatever little spiritual knowledge it might have, or simply to say, yes, the mind and senses, you make a lot of sense. Let me satisfy you. So, as soon as the soul makes that decision, the material nature supplies a false ego. by which the soul identifies itself with the mind and the senses and acquires spirit, material intelligence in order to gratify the mind and senses. In other words, if that's what the soul wants, is to gratify the mind and the senses, the super soul supplies the intelligence through the material nature in order to figure out how to gratify the senses according to what we deserve. So the intelligence says yes. Think of a the soul says to the intelligence, think of a plan how to meet her. So the intelligence says, well, write her a letter, tell her she's the most beautiful person you've seen, and then put in very small letters, in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you're madly in love with her. You'll give her the sun and the moon, and if she's especially nice to you, you'll throw in a couple extra stars. Tell her you can't live without her, that she should meet you in such and such place, in such and such time, but don't bring that man next to her with her, because he's twice as big as you are. In this way, the material intelligence is utilized, or intelligence is utilized to think of plans how to gratify the mind and the senses, their desires. On the other hand, when the soul takes shelter of spiritual intelligence, then instead of utilizing the intelligence to gratify the senses, the same intelligence will tell the soul, well, take this book, the Bhagavad Gita, go up to the couple, give them both a copy, and ask them for, tell them how wonderful it is, and ask them for a donation. And that way, the same senses and mind and spiritual intelligence are utilized in Krishna's service, and one becomes liberated from material conceptions. So, generally speaking, lusty intelligence influences the soul to acquire a false ego by which one misidentifies oneself with the mind and senses for sense gratification and thus becomes entangled in material life. But that same activity done with spiritual intelligence liberates the soul from the material concepts. And it all is based upon hearing. If we hear how wonderful it is to gratify the mind and senses, then actually the soul becomes attracted to such activities. As a matter of fact, the whole modern civilization is simply based upon propaganda that if we gratify our senses in some way, we'll be happy. Up to the point, they used to have this cigarette called Cool. And probably Cool, you've heard of Cool. You never smoked Cools. At that time, it was cool to smoke a Cool. So Prabhupada said they're so foolish, there's a cigarette called Cool, they're breathing in fire, and they think it's cool. So people, out of hearing the glories of something, will try anything. Nowadays, your friend goes to a restaurant, and they tell you, I had this meal, and it was so wonderful. Fried grasshoppers. No, you haven't had fried grasshoppers. Now, ordinarily people would not be very much inclined to eat fried grasshoppers, but if their friend keeps on telling them how wonderful it was, then they might be interested in trying, you know, a grasshopper or two. If you go to some stores in America, they sell chocolate-covered grasshoppers and chocolate-covered snails, chocolate-covered caterpillars. What to speak of, I remember one time we were doing traveling Sankirtan, and we had our van, so we were staying at a park, and in the park, there was a store. And in the store, this woman who was running the store was, this is in the south of America, southern part of America. There were jars with pickled pig's feet. You can eat the lotus feet of a pig. pig feet in a jar, pickled. And that's not the only thing they have. So, someone must be buying it. They wouldn't be on advert, you know, have it in jars for everyone to see unless someone had some interest in such things. So where did the interest develop? By hearing from your friends how wonderful it is. If you go on Amazon.com, there's ratings for everything. Stars, and people tell you about their experience. And based on that, people become attracted to hear the glories of something. The Tevidu, Swatagatim Hivishnu. There's nothing on Amazon.com, or very little, about the glories of Krishna. Someone may be selling Japa beads, but it's probably not in the top 100 sales. Other things are being glorified, from computers to television sets to whatever else, and people are spending their energy because they hear the glories of how wonderful it would be to possess such things and then utilize them, and how much you feel happy and gratified and satisfied in the use of such instruments. So similarly, although the devotees are rather doing their humble effort at distributing a few books, as we heard the other day, we distributed 26 books for someone, top 40 books, and everyone's cheering. We practically saved Ljubljana. In the meantime, Amazon.com, probably in the same week, distributed 300,000 books, none of which dealt with Krishna. So we can imagine the majority of the reading material that people are hearing. And what to speak of watching television or going to the movies. There was some movie, I haven't seen the movie, but I saw it. They were saying that Black Panther made $1 billion in sales. So, what's that? No, not this. I'm sure altogether that $1 billion. In any case, they made just a few $100 million the first weekend, or $100 million the first weekend. But what is it all about? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What else? There's nothing else in it. And after watching it, what do you learn? How to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. As if we didn't know about that before. Something new. But people will focus their attention, give their love means they'll actually follow those directions. They'll become inspired to eat more, sleep more, mate more, and defend more. And when people hear that this movie's sold $1 billion, then they'll think, I must see it also. I must be missing something. Even a movie like Avatar, which is so, you know, supposedly because they had the word Avatar in it, therefore the devotees flocked to this. Because it must be a spiritual movie. But in the what that movie was about, undoubtedly, was eating, sleeping, mating, defending, in a different world. So maybe that was a blue world where they're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and we're in a green world where they're eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But more or less, it's punak punas charvata, charvananam, the same thing over and over again. And if we tell people about the glories of Krishna, some people will actually become attracted. Some people have some brains. When they hear that their bodies are changing, but they're not changing, and therefore they're eternal, and there's a process to realize our eternality, they may become attracted. Rather than imagining that they're a Batman or a Superman, infallible, some superhero, and therefore they're indestructible, they can find out they're already indestructible. You don't have to read a Batman comic to become indestructible, even within your imagination. We're already indestructible. avyakto yam achinto yam avikaryo yam uchite tasmad evam viditvainam nanu soshitim arhasi. So everyone's lamenting. Why are they lamenting? Because they don't know that they're eternal, unmanifested. They're not achedo yam adaya yam. They're not wet by water, nor burnt by fire, nor withered by the wind. That we're all indestructible, even better than Superman. Superman has, I think it's called kryptonite. But with the soul, there's no kryptonite, has no kryptonite. It's even more powerful than Superman. But most people are just distracted by so many false claims, fake news, about how they're going to be happy in so many different ways. And the real path of happiness, they think, is too fantastic. I'm eternal. There's a God who has unlimited beauty. How is that possible? That then he would compete against me, but no one should compete against me. If there's a God who's unlimitedly beautiful and wealthy and strong and famous, then he's categorically the best. No one can compete against him, and therefore we're all wasting our time, and that would be very unfair. No one asked Krishna to become God. He was never elected. And therefore, we don't acknowledge his existence. And if we don't acknowledge his existence, maybe he'll grow bored and die out of boredom, because no one will take him seriously. But that's not how things work. That's how things work in the material illusory concept of life, hearing about all kinds of illusory ideas. But they're very powerful because they keep everyone bound. As soon as we make the decision to hear about illusion, then we become bound by illusion. Just like as soon as the moth decides to fly into the fire, it can't say, well, I was just testing it out. It's burnt. As soon as the fly decides to have audience with the spider on its web, it's stuck. As soon as we hear about the glories of mundane things, we become, even with the slightest attraction, then we become bound by that illusory conception of life, and our real knowledge is forgotten. Our intelligence is taken away by illusion, and it's not within our power to get it back just by our own endeavor and effort or will. As soon as our intelligence is taken away, it's lost. Therefore, reading Bhagavad Gita is essential, as it says here, because it tells us how the material nature works. And it doesn't work according to the way we'd like it to work, nor can the scientists change the way it works. When Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishyam Pumsam, Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangastanjayate Kama, Kama Krodo Bajayate, Krodad Bhavati Samoha, Samaha smriti vibram sat, smriti bram sat purinasho, purinashat pranashati. As soon as we contemplate the objects of the senses, as soon as we're not satisfied in Krishna consciousness, then we'll look for something else to satisfy ourselves with. And as soon as we look around, Maya will offer us something to focus our attention on and then become attached to. And as soon as Maya sees we're focusing our attention on some illusory objective, then she supplies the necessary energy called lust to inspire us to get that energy, to impel us to gratify that particular sense that we're concentrating our minds on. And as soon as lust is there, then as soon as the attempt to gratify the lust is there, if we're successful, we become greedy for more. It's not that someone satisfies their lust, and that's the end of the story. No, then they want to gratify their lust again. If you have an ice cream cone, then you want to get another one, if you can still fit it in there somewhere. You don't think, now I'm satisfied, I had my strawberry ice cream cone, I don't want anything else. I'm completely set. No, they think, well, what does the chocolate taste like? Because we always don't eat chocolate. Okay, I can't eat chocolate. What about vanilla? Carib, yes, Carib. For those who follow the GBC. And then after one can't eat anymore, one becomes frustrated. My friend had three, I only had two. What did he do? I'm actually nicer than he is. God's unfair. One becomes frustrated. And then a whole delusional conception of our what happened overtakes us. We feel we've been rejected, wherever else emotions overwhelm us, and we live our world of illusion. A delusion expands, and we actually forget what actually happened. We invent our own story. We have our particular side of reality, and then whatever knowledge we had, which was real, about our eternal existence or what the laws of material nature are, is lost in our deluded state. And then we're even more inclined to act according to delusion. Indriyanim puranya, indriyanim manobudir asya dishtinam uchate etera vimahodyatyesha gyanam avritti dehinam. Actually, indriyani puranya hur. Indriyani hicharetam yanmano nuvidiyate tadasya harati pragya vayor navami bambusi. Just like a boat on the water gets swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. So if you're a boat on the water and a strong wind comes along, it just sweeps it away. So similarly, as soon as we're not fixed in Krishna consciousness, then as soon as our senses start roaming around for something to fix itself on, then our intelligence is carried away by the illusory energy. It happens instantly, and there's nothing we can do about it except to stop contemplating the objects of the senses. And what's the result? Ukraman tam sitim vapi bunjana va gunanvita vimudo nanupashanti pashanti gyana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So we're trying to hear so we can train our eyes, our intelligence, with knowledge. So we can avoid getting caught up in material illusion. As soon as we think, well, I'm a nice devotee, I'm safe, I've chanted so many rounds, let me kick back, explore the internet a little bit, see if there's anything interesting going on in the world, then I'll get back to my Krishna consciousness. As soon as we start surfing the material, the Maya, the illusory energy, then we're sure to drown again in the material nature. And we think, how did I get here? I was such a nice devotee. I was so pure. I was practicing the spiritual world. And now I'm back in illusion again. Something's wrong, but not with me. So it happens instantaneously. As soon as we stop focusing our minds upon Krishna, then the mind will drift away towards the inclination to try to enjoy subtly or grossly the illusory energy again. And we haven't even seen even the small amount of Maya. We've only seen the very the very superficial aspects of Maya. Maya, as Gop Kumara, he went throughout the whole universe and he saw progressively Maya get stronger. It's not that Maya here in the material world, where it's quite obvious this is Maya, but still has some attraction for the conditioned souls. When it gets to the subtler realms of material existence, it gets even subtler, the illusory energy, and more attractive. Up to the point where Gop Kumara was going through the coverings of the universe and meeting Maya herself in different forms and finding it progressively more difficult to give her up, till finally at the last cover, Maya came in the form of sex personified and offered herself, stay with me and enjoy with me, I'm here for you. And with great difficulty, Gop Kumara gave up that illusion and merged in Brahman. And there he was also trying to get out of Brahman because it was so peaceful and attractive. He found it difficult. Somehow or another, he saw the form of Krishna in the form of Brahman, in Brahman, and Krishna kept on fading in and out. And finally, he had enough intelligence to get out of Brahman, and he wound up in Mahashiva Loka. So what do I speak of ourselves? We can walk down the street and become attracted to some advertisement for some ridiculous thing. What to speak of being in the final coverings of the universe? Maya herself is coming and offering herself to us. So, the conclusion is that only by hearing this knowledge regularly, we can see so many devotees have come and they were all, you know, enthusiastic and sincere at the beginning. And then after some time, they decided they learned enough, they know enough, they don't have to be so careful about following the process anymore. And therefore, they stop coming to the program. And after a while, the last thing we hear about them is the sound of bloop. They've merged back into the material energy again. And no one ever hears about them again. So, if we wanted to make progress, as it says, in any way, itanto yoginas chayanam pashanyat manivastita itanto vyavikratmano naiva pashanti chetasaha, the endeavoring transcendentalist can see all this clearly, but those whose eyes are not trained, although they may endeavor, cannot see actually what's taking place. So they're spending billions and billions of dollars trying to figure out what reality is, scientists and psychologists, sociologists, but they won't understand anything of any importance because their eyes are not trained with knowledge. Their activities are not trained. They don't come to the Bhagavatam class. They don't even come to the Bhagavad Gita class. Therefore, actually, they're just wasting their time and they're wasting everyone else's time. And the result is they're blind and their followers are blind, and the result is they'll simply increase the number of ants and trees. A lot of trees already in Slovenia, but they'll increase them. Sometimes they get knocked down like a couple of years ago by strong winds, but don't worry, there's many people in Slovenia lined up to replace them, because they're following the bona fide path to become a tree, if they're pious. Otherwise, they may have to become an ant or lower. Therefore, we should feel ourselves quite fortunate. We have this opportunity to hear about Krishna, hear how the material nature works, and if we take it seriously, then gradually things will be revealed to us that cannot be revealed to anyone else, except for one who actually seriously hears and follows the path of devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? So to repeat, to summarize, if you see an attractive lady on the street or man, go up and give them a book, trying to get a donation. Then you'll be doing all right. Questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.